Welcome to the IBN NFL Weekly Recap Show with your hosts, IBS Eases and Joe the Brain Max.
Welcome, everybody, to the NFL Recap Show. We are in week number 12 of the recap. Back from Thanksgiving break, I got with me Joe the Brain Max, three-time winner now. Because you wasn't here the week that you lost, so you are a three-time.
That's winner. Right. I'm just gonna skip every week the Giants lose, so you might not see much over the next month.
Three-time winner, and your host doing the most, IBS Eases. We'll just go ahead and run into it. Thanksgiving Day games, starting with the worst game of the year, or close to it. The Bears won 16-14 against the Lions. The Lions, they're gonna go 0-17. There's just no way they're gonna if you couldn't win this game, you're just never gonna win a game.
This felt like it had to be the one. It was like it's Thanksgiving, it's the Bears, this is it. Oof. And of course they found like an excruciating way to lose it too. In pure Lions fashion.
I mean you can't think of any other way to lose if you're the Lions except for by three, which makes me wonder, are they just a bad team that catches bad breaks, or they just have bad luck? Because they actually haven't been blown up a ton in these games, but they're 0-10-1. So I take it back.
Third game they've lost in the last second field goal, I believe.
Yeah, so. But the irony is that they still won't be the worst team ever, because they'll go 0-16 like at worst because they had a tie. Oh, the Lions can't even get that right. Andy Dalton threw for 317 yards on 39 attempts. Jared Goff was pretty efficient, but obviously didn't get enough done. 21 for 25, 171 yards, 2 touchdowns. Neither team ran the ball well. Mooney had a pretty decent game, 5 catches, 123 yards. But yeah. it wasn't that great of a game, and the Lions just found a way to lose.
For anyone who was wise enough to just skip it, this game ended on the Bears doing an 18-play, 69-yard drive that took up the last 8.5 minutes of the game. And my favorite play was the Bears had 3rd and 9, just under 2 minutes to go. Lions get called for a penalty for calling back-to-back timeouts.
Yeah.
And that took it from 3rd and 9 to 3rd and 4. Naturally, Andy Dalton converts, and that's your game. Bears were 2 of 8 on 3rd downs, 6 yards or longer, 3 for 5 from 5 yards and shorter. So just classic Lions finding a way to lose a game.
So just to let everybody know how much of a degenerate I am, I was all the way in the mountains. There's only like one spot of my granddad's property where you can get a phone signal. And I drove the 4-wheeler over there and I was watching the game on Bleacher Report on the app. And so when it got to like 3rd and 8, because I had the Lions money line, but I had the Lions to cover the 3. And then I also accurately predicted that if they were to lose, it would probably be on the last second field goal. So I drove to this random spot on the property where I could get a signal just so I could stream the game to watch these dudes call back-to-back timeouts, and ended up in another argument with a cousin of mine about how stupid people are who consistently watch football. You cannot call back-to-back timeouts, people. That has always been a fucking rule for the longest time. Like, it's common knowledge. It's not something that they just came up with this year. It's just nobody's ever been dumb enough to try it after it was implemented, so you don't see
technically the refs are not supposed to award the timeout, but if they do, then it becomes a penalty,
which is just, it's just dumb all around. Like, you can't do that. You know you can't do that. Like, what in the world, man?
And then, speaking of gambling, Lions this year 7-4 against the spread, so if you bet on them with the points, you made a lot of money this year. If you bet on them straight up, you're losing every single time.
I will not deny that I haven't tried at least 3 times to get the money line. And all 3 times, actually 2 of the 3 times was against the damn Bears. And they
that makes sense.
Yeah, they covered the number, but they just can't win. It's disheartening for real. The next game really broke my heart here. My Cowboys are not doing too well. I don't really have an explanation. I keep getting shit from Cowboy fans because I had them as number one in my power rankings for like 6 weeks. And damn it, they were the best team in the NFL during those 6 weeks. Y'all can kiss my ass.
You know it's bad because you're arguing against Cowboys fans. You're
like, yeah.
No, like, team's good.
They're eternal pessimists. I don't even pay attention to them, man. They don't want their team to do good. They got PTSD. It's the weirdest thing ever. Like, if my team was as good as the Cowboys were, even if they're sitting at 7-4 now, they've lost a couple games, I still would be talking cash money, especially to my division. And these guys are like, no, you said we were a Super Bowl team. Everybody was saying that for 6 to 7 weeks. That's usually what happens when you cover the number every single game and you only lose like one time. Yes, people start talking Super Bowl. But,
I mean, they've also watched the last like 25 years. This is what the Cowboys do. They look like Super Bowl contenders. They're going to bounce back. They're going to finish like 12-5 here. And then they're going to lose in the second round of the playoffs. That's what they do.
I hope not, man. 36,
unless Mike McCarthy stays out with COVID and he gets the long-term COVID and can't come back, then maybe they get a shot.
I don't know if Dan Quinn is an upgrade, though.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. 36-33, Raiders came into Dallas and won. Dallas is 7-4, 4-2 at home. Big win for the Raiders, honestly, though. Like, you know, we can spend all day about the Cowboys, but the Raiders really needed this win. Their division is super tight right now. You know, as it stands today, we can make an argument for any team in that division the way it's played out. You see the Chiefs trending up. You see the Chargers trending down. You see the Broncos kind of doing what you expected them to do in spots. So it's really up to the Raiders to pick it up if they want to make the playoffs. Derek Carr has been having a great season. He's 24 for 39, 373 yards. Hunter Renfrow had 134 yards on 8 catches. Doesn't breathe like a Hunter Renfrow line. If he had 8 catches, I would think he was in like the 60s or 70s max. But looks like he has some yak going, which is a bad sign for the Cowboys defense because that's not what he's known for. Cowboys obviously missing CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper. Not able to get the ball going on the ground. Tony Pollard had 10 rushes for 38 yards. That was the leading rusher on the team. That's never a good sign if you're the Cowboys. They've gotta get back to their basics, man. We went through this during the Tony Romo era. I'll say it here. We went through it with the Tony Romo era. When you're passing the ball almost 50 times a game, you're typically not winning the game. You're typically not in a position to win the game. So I see Dak Prescott with 47 pass attempts. That's not good. I'm looking at the scores here. It was 14-6 at the end of the first quarter. You're still within range. It's 17-13 at half. You're still in range. All right. Then it's 27-20. You're still in range. So why are we passing the ball so much? Why are we passing the ball so much? And then you outscore them in the fourth quarter to tie the game up. And then you come out in overtime and you still can't establish the run. Now, I don't want to take anything away from the Raiders defense. They play really well, but they're not known to be a run stop defense. So what the hell is going on?
Well, in defense of, I guess, Kellen Moore, I mean, it's not like they were running effectively. With their backs, 19 carries for 61 yards. Yeah, you don't want Dak to have to throw it 50 times, but if he's getting 8 yards an attempt, even with the backup receivers, Gallup and Cedric Wilson both broke 100 yards, that's how they were moving the ball. So, you know, if they're having success on the ground, then absolutely stay with it. And they normally do. This is not what you want to see. But it's like week one against Tampa Bay. They couldn't run it in that game. They could pass it all day. So if that's the way the game is working out, I'm not going to hate on them for sticking with what's working. Defensively, you know, that was the bigger problem, is this game felt like Micah Parsons versus the Raiders. I'm not sure another player on the Dallas defense showed up.
Oh, that's the way.
I mean, yeah, Jordan Lewis gave up 160 yards. Anthony Brown's just committing pass interference on every other play. It was rough. And, I mean, also just kudos to the refs for really trying to destroy the one good game on Thanksgiving with 276 yards of penalties. It was like every other play was a Raiders hold or a Dallas pass interference. And, you know, some of them were legit, but you also don't have to call every ticky-tack one.
I mean, I would like to see them let it play, but that's the league, man. They're
especially with holding right now. It's crazy.
It's hard to be consistent with the officiating on the defensive side of the ball for sure. I hear what you're saying, and I'm gonna sound like an old school person, but god damn it, there's no excuse for not being able to establish the run against the Raiders. I'm just like
play calls in the run game were bad. I can't say I was paying that much attention to their run designs, but.
Yeah, I'm actually gonna make that my project for this week, because I was gonna actually last week I was gonna talk about how the Chiefs essentially isolated Michael Parsons and just was like, look, we're gonna just go away from this guy, make sure this one person doesn't make a play and force everybody else to have to make plays. And they held on to win because of that strategy. And it was clear as day that the Raiders strategy was, we'll just go wherever Parsons isn't on the field. He can't cover when he rushes. He can't rush when he covers. So let's just find out where he is on the field and then work on that. If his hand's on the ground, then we're going to pass. If his if he's upright, we're going to run. And we're going to try to run away from him, which is an effective strategy. I mean, the guys around them just have to make plays. The Cowboys in general have to make plays. Yep. There's only one true star on that defense right now, and it's Parsons. I love Diggs, but his head's a little too big.
It's very hit and miss.
Yeah, Anthony Brown is absolute trash. it's unfortunate that he's like the one that's the loudest too in the secondary. But at the end of the day, I still think they need to get back to running the ball. They need to get these yards per carry up, whether it be design or what. They just need to figure it out.
Yeah, I agree with the general concept that, the key to what made this team look so unstoppable at times was they could hit you with anything. They could pass, they could run, they can do it out of a variety of formations. Obviously, the receivers being out hurts, but that should hurt the passing game, not the running game.
Yeah. Exactly. Bills versus Saints. We don't have to spend a lot of time on this. Bills came in and won 31-6. My guy Josh Allen looked okay. But the Saints they're just trying to hold on. They don't have a lot going on. I think I saw Taysom Hill might be starting, or he's getting first team reps again. So they're definitely in singing
desperation
right now. Yeah, definitely. Didn't score for three quarters. Thought they might actually get shut out, but they wound up scoring in the fourth quarter. Bills really needed that win. They are not in the driver's seat any longer unless they beat the Patriots head to head, and that's going to be asking a lot as it currently stands.
Right, because they have two games against the Patriots, so a split does not help them right now since they're behind. So. Yeah, those are going to be interesting games. That looks like two of the three best teams in the AFC right now. So,
and the winner of the worst ass whooping of the week, the Steelers. I can't even say that they traveled to Cincy because it doesn't look like they did. They got beat 41-10, blasted. It was 31-3 at the half. Mercy.
Yeah, this one was over quick.
Mercy. Mixon had 185 yards on 28 carries. And T. Higgins had 114 of Joe Burrow's 190 yards. That is insane. Yeah. Clearly was a mismatch somewhere. And Big Ben just looked like he just looked old. And we keep saying this from time to time. I don't think it getting colder is going to help Ben's elbow, arm, or whatever. Every time he hits the ground and he lands on his throwing side, he just looks like he's like not going to get back up. It's really bad.
Yeah, I can't remember if he's first or second in a time to throw. Like, he's getting the ball out real quick. The other guy in the top two is Tom Brady, but for vastly different reasons. One guy is just trying to avoid getting hit, and the other guy is dissecting defenses. So, oh, yeah, this is Big Ben. Took three sacks, threw two picks. One of them was a pick six to Mike Hilton. He looked awful. You do wonder if this was Ben from a couple of years ago. Deontay Johnson, Claypool, Pat Freiermuth's the best tight end they probably ever had in the Big Ben years. But it's too late now. The window has passed, Roethlisberger.
Man, that window is glued shut.
Yeah, it honestly passed like 2 years ago.
Yeah, but they should have got him. They should have got rid of him. They should have got rid of him the minute that he had to have that surgery. They should have just graciously
better off.
Yep. Speaking of somebody that should have gotten rid of, but we can't get rid of him. Tom fucking Brady goes in to Indy and wins 38-31. I don't know what the hell happened, okay? I was at work, not gonna lie. I was at work, so I didn't catch all the game, but I was clearly present for the good. Went to do a couple tours, came back, and then I got 100 messages from Ronnie, so I figured that Brady was balling out because Ronnie was messaging me. And they came back and won. Story is Leonard Fournette carrying Tom Brady. That's my headline. That's what I'm going to say.
That's a perfect comeback right there since we know RC is not a Fournette believer.
It's awesome to me that in games like this, it's been pretty consistent. The games where they come back and win and it's like, how the hell did that happen? Fournette balls out. And so then I have this like awesome catch 22 where by praising Brady, you're praising Fournette. So it usually gets quiet after I mention that. But Fournette, 17 carries, 100 yards, 3 touchdowns. And it was also a factor in the passing game, which is huge because he doesn't have much chemistry with Mike Evans. Godwin wasn't much of a factor in
This was the Gronk and Fournette show.
Yeah, like Keith said on our show when he was doing Daily Fantasy, like the Colts struggle covering tight ends and it bit him in the ass. Yep. Gronk didn't score any touchdowns, but when you're getting 17 yards a catch, it's significant. He had 10 targets too.
The Colts, just another missed opportunity. This is, I think, like the third time they've blown a double-digit lead this year. And if they'd won this game, I would have said that they had a real shot at catching Tennessee. At this point, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but the Titans still have the Texans and the Jags coming up. So I think this was their chance. If they'd won this game, they're in a solid position to maybe pull that off. Now they're stuck with 8 other teams fighting for a wild card spot.
It just sucks that the Colts had to play the Rams and the Seahawks so early in the year. Why can't they get them right now?
That's a good point. They would win those games now, definitely.
Hell yeah, for sure. God. For sure.
But Carson Wentz, your guy, 2 picks.
Carson Wentz.
Well, otherwise, but those 2 picks were killer.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. I don't have any excuse for Carson, man. He's doing a whole lot of he's doing a whole lot of Brett Favre, where it's like, just take the fucking sack. Just take the sack. Brett used to do that all the time. Like, he'd be swung around in a circle 30 times. And instead of throwing the ball out of bounds or just going down, he would try to throw the bitch down the field when everybody's been in coverage for 20 seconds. And that's Carson Wentz right now. So Frank speaks Wentz, so hopefully he can reach him and get him back on track. They are 6-5, which is awesome compared to or considering that they started like 1-4 or something like that. Yeah, it's not the end of the world, but definitely these games that are winnable, you want to see them finish. Falcons Jags, don't have to spend a lot of time on this. Urban Meyer is still trying to find people to run the right routes 13 weeks into the season. Sounds like Urban to Notre Dame to me. That's what it sounds like.
Ooh, I honestly hadn't even thought about that, but that makes a lot of sense. The Jags just look like a poorly coached team. Still get it done in college, they special teams mistakes all over the place. Lawrence doesn't really seem to be progressing. And I mean, you think if you're playing the Falcons, there's only really 2 guys you really need to pay attention to. And Cordero Patterson just carved up this Jags defense. And this time it was on the ground, 108 yards on 16 carries.
Bullying them.
And it, again, he hasn't really been doing most of his work on the ground. It's been through the air. It's embarrassing to get run for 149 yards by these Atlanta Falcons, but that's where the Jags are right now.
Yeah, and the Jags just, there's no rhyme or reason to their team. I don't understand why you got Laquon Treadwell and LaViscus Chenault Jr. on the field at the same time in 2021. Like, big body receivers are not supposed to be on the field at the same time. There's one Mike Evans. You know why? Because there should only be one Mike Evans. Like, there should only be one big body receiver. These guys that are 6'5", 6'6", like, limited lateral movement, fucking Chenault, bless his heart.
At least Chenault has some movement. Treadwell doesn't really have
any. Yeah, I was going to say, both of them have limited movement. Chenault honestly probably should play more of a Cordell Patterson
role
for the Jags, but Urban Meyer doesn't have that kind of visionary.
Just watch out for LaViscus Chenault in year 8 of his career. That's going to be his breakout season. wait for that.
I really don't know how long this is going to last. Urban doesn't like losing. He's not helping Trevor at all. It's really bothering me. And a lot of what I see in Trevor Lawrence is not necessarily him as much as it is just they just don't have any rhyme or reason to this offense. There's no rhythm building. The plays don't build off of one another. They run Robinson, get in third and one in a situation where they should run, and they'll fucking run a route that's like 10 yards long. Everybody's got these long developing routes, and they're in max protect. It's like, what? Like, it doesn't make any sense. But at the end of the day, it's a decent win for the Falcons in the sense that they're not statistically eliminated from the playoffs.
They're somehow still in it. Yeah. They can't actually beat any good teams, but they've done a really solid job of winning the games that they actually are supposed to this season. They're 4-2 on the road. Granted, home road splits don't seem to really matter anymore.
Yep.
But yeah, I think they're like one spot out of the playoffs right now.
I think the Niners are in the 6th spot.
Yeah. Washington is the 7 right now somehow.
Yeah.
And then it's Vikings 8, Falcons 9 is the current order of the 4 teams are stuck at 5 and 6 right now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Panthers visiting. Oh, actually, you know what? I lied.
You lied?
The Panthers should be winners with the
Steelers.
Ass whooping of the week.
Especially when you consider they're playing the Dolphins, not the Bengals.
Yeah, even though it was 33-10, like, boy, they were awful, man. Cam was awful.
5 for 21 with 2 picks.
McCaffrey's out again, this time for good. Shocker. And my boy Waddle, are you already ready to apologize? Was it you that was saying that the ankle injury was going to keep him down for like a significant amount of time, or he wouldn't be as effective?
I don't think I ever said anything like that. I'll admit I had him 4th among the wide receivers in this class because I'm a big Bateman guy.
Yeah, I hyped him up, and he was in this draft class. He's top 2. I might have been. I had beef with LSU receivers, so yeah. Jefferson and Chase it's just a personal vendetta. Okay, I lost a lot of money fading them. The one time I faded them, it became personal. But they are two very elite young receivers. But Waddle was one of the guys that I had highlighted with Judy, Chase, Jefferson, all these guys that I thought was bringing about an evolution in the wide receiver position. And the fact that when you get them the ball, CeeDee Lamb's in that group too, when you get the ball in their hands, they create magic. Like, they are literally some of the best yards after the catch receivers I've ever seen. And it's not always just speed. Like Tyreek Hill is straight speed. These guys have legitimate vision, like running backs. When they get the ball, it's just a different dynamic.
I mean, you can see it when he would return punts in college, too, where he's on another level than almost anyone else. He was fantastic. I don't know if – I keep wondering with every win, because Miami's on a little bit of a roll here. Is Tua saving his job, or is he just making it easier for them to move on because they're going to believe if we just upgrade to Deshaun, we've got a team again? Like, he was good in this game, 27-31. Like, he played well, but I just wonder every week, is this better for him, or is it just like they're going to say we're close, let's get Deshaun?
No, this is great for Tua and the Dolphins because he's making himself a valuable piece in this
trade. Yeah, exactly.
They don't have to give as much. They don't have to give that much anymore.
It's two first-rounders instead of three.
Yeah, so just keep playing well. Keep winning games. They got a winnable game.
You'll end up in Houston.
Yeah, they got a winnable game this week as well. So I think you guys are coming in with Glennon as the quarterback.
I know. I just saw that news like a couple hours ago. I was like, great.
So they could essentially win again. And then
they get the Jets and the Saints the next 2 weeks. And shoot, the Titans is not very scary either. And there's always the chance the Patriots won't have anything to play for in the last week, depending. So they could get to eight wins pretty easily here, maybe even nine.
It would make my day to see them in the season over 500 and fuck over the draft position of the Eagles.
I'm obviously rooting for that. That's the upside. If we lose to the Miami, our draft pick gets better, the Eagles gets worse. So
yeah,
I at least have that silver lining as a Giants fan.
Panthers just need to pack it in. Just need to pack it in. It's okay. You just get you a quarterback somehow, some kind of way. Pay Rodgers whatever he wants to get him to come to your team. Have a bidding war with Denver just basically Denver, honestly. Give him whatever he wants. Worst case scenario, you end up back with Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, it can't be no worse than you ending up back with Cam Newton. So
I mean, deciding to pass on Mac Jones, and I would still say Justin Fields, just looks worse and worse every single week of this Panther season. Like, they traded for C.J. Henderson, and all they had to give up was, like, a second-tier tight end. They traded for why am I blanking on his name right now? The Patriots corner.
Oh, yeah, Gilmore.
Yeah, Gilmore, who's one of the better corners in the league. They gave up a sixth-rounder for him. They drafted a corner at 7. It's not that hard to get corners. They've proven that this year. It's super hard to get QBs. I mean, they had to trade a second-round pick to get Sam Darnold, who's been trash the entirety of his NFL career. And they passed up on Mac Jones, who looks great. Granted, I'm sure he wouldn't look as good in Carolina. But it's not like they have nothing to work with on that team. And then you look, and you got Fields, too, who has all the talent in the world. And now they're going into a draft class that does not look very impressive at quarterback. Like, they might have to push this down another year, besides the fact that they have to pay Darnold like $20 million next season because they picked up his option.
They could. Oh, dang. Damn, never mind. I just forget what I was about to say. They picked up his option. Yikes. So bad. All right. Well, Matt Rhule to Notre Dame. Jets somehow lost to the.
The one. Somehow yeah, won.
Reverse that. Jets somehow won against the damn Texans. 21-14. I don't know what happened to the Texans. We were talking about Ty God. That's how I knew everything was off, man. I was apologizing to Tyrod, hyping him up, and they just couldn't get it done. Honestly, this is a game Texas should have won. They just didn't execute. Like, they had plenty of opportunities. They just didn't execute. And we got the customary Zach Wilson turnover. He picked up right where he left off. But, hey, he's got two wins, right? Because he beat the Titans.
He did. So, yeah, he does have two wins.
He's got two wins. So that's more than Trevor Lawrence has, I believe.
They're the same number, right?
Oh, they're the same? I don't know. You know what?
Well, the Jags have two wins. Hasn't Lawrence started every game, I think?
Well, I think I give too much time to these sorry teams. Do the Jags have two wins? I'm assuming they do. They got
two wins.
I remember the one win that they won in London, and they beat the Bills. So yeah, they got two wins. All right. So, can we count that Bills win as a win for like Lawrence in the office though? Because they
scored 9 points.
Yeah, they didn't do anything.
But you know it's bad for Houston when Rex Burkhead is getting the most carries in your backfield.
Yikes.
I mean, 12 carries for 27 yards. I don't know. What are you doing if you're feeding the ball to Rex Burkhead? Like, I know David Johnson's not good anymore, but he's still better than Rex Burkhead.
Texans are just holding on, man. They're just doing what they can. I mean, they couldn't have anticipated not starting, or they couldn't have anticipated starting
the Mills for 2 months.
Yeah. And Deshaun Watson looking like nothing, basically, because they can't use him. The minute he settles, he's getting traded anyway, so it's a done deal. Titans visited the Patriots, and it kind of played out like I thought it would. Not this big of a score, but the inefficiencies of the Titans off their ability to sustain drives. Like, you end up in these poor field positions on your defense on a regular basis because you get three and outs. Patriots took advantage of it. Patriots are 8-4, 3-4 at home, but 8-4 overall. Titans are 8-4 overall as well, but you get the sense that they are a team that's finally going to start trending down. Patriots have been trending up for several weeks, and we will have a segment at the end where we talk about what we feel are the odds of the Patriots being taken seriously as a Super Bowl contender. So we'll say that to the end.
Yeah, just looking at the Titans, I mean, they were definitely a team that was overachieving earlier in the season. They were winning a lot of close games. Now they're just so beat up. I mean, without your top three offensive playmakers, that's tough. Tannehill only managed to throw for 93 yards, and they lost 8 more on sacks. On the plus side, they did run for 270 yards in this game.
A lot of solid runs, too.
Yeah. I mean, you had two different backs go for over 100. That was impressive. And they were actually in this game in like midway through the third quarter. So this game wasn't as bad as it looks in the end. But, I mean, with AJ out, Julio out, obviously Derrick Henry, all three of those guys are on IR. There's just not a whole lot this team can do. The Patriots also were a bad matchup because the Titans defense is powered by getting pressure. Patriots have one of the best O-lines. This was Jeffrey Simmons' first game of his career without a pressure on the QB. Like I said earlier, though, the upside is they still have the Jags at home next week, and they finish off the season against the Texans. If they win those two, they've got the division on lock. But if they lose to the Jags this week, anything could happen at that point. So big week for them, but I expect that they can at least get that done, especially with, like you said, Urban Meyer potentially fleeing back to college here.
Yeah, Urban Meyer can try, and he still won't be successful. That's what it's looking like for him. Eagles, Giants, if you want to get your gloat on. Giants stopped a lot of momentum with the Eagles. They were rolling a little bit. 13-7, solid divisional win for the Giants. Eagles kind of back to the drawing board a little bit. I'm not reading too much into it. These division games can be difficult for the visiting teams, especially when they're favorite. It just doesn't seem like in the NFC East you want to lay points with any team on the road.
Well, yeah, I know you weren't too shocked at the way this happened. You had the Giants in your plays, right, this week?
Yeah, I had the Giants in my plays, and I had the money line.
Yeah, and honestly, I wasn't too surprised either. This did feel like one of the games that we would actually win. I think this is the first time we've beaten the Eagles back-to-back, though, in like 8 or 9 years, something stupid like that. So, yeah, as a Giants fan, it was ugly. Obviously, our only touchdown was thrown to a fourth string tight end who caught the ball about 1 inch off of the ground. So the offense remains a problem, and it's only going to be worse with Mike Glennon next week. But defensively, this was, this is as good as it gets. We only gave up 7 points, although a lot of thanks as a Giants fan to the Jalen's. Hurts had 3 picks. The worst one was at the end of the first half. They had third and goal with 8 seconds left. And so, I mean, everyone knows you'd run a quick play. If it's not there and you're the QB, you just throw it out of the back of the end zone. You kick the field goal. He held it for like the whole 8 seconds and then threw up a desperation pass that got picked off. So that's 3 points right there. They have that. They could have kicked a field goal at the end of this game. And then Jalen Reagor just seems to be solidifying himself as a bust this year. In the last like 4 plays, he had 2 drops. Catches either one, they probably win the game. They were both right up the goal line. He didn't come through. Hurts, yeah, this was as bad as he's looked in a long time, maybe this whole season. Again, 14 of 31, 3 picks. They did run efficiently, though, which if you can do that, you can do stuff against the Giants. They had 200 yards on the ground, and that's not going to go away. Like you said, I don't think the Eagles are suddenly dead in the water now because they lost this one, but it was one of those games that showed the weakness of this team. If you can wipe away Devonta Smith, you can really limit this entire passing game of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, and if they turn the ball over 4 times, they're not good enough to overcome that, no matter who they're playing.
Even with the Giants only scoring 13. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 4 turnovers, it's just that makes things pretty much impossible for you.
Chargers versus Broncos. Broncos put a can of whippers on the Chargers. I'm not going to lie. At one point, I was about to write him off because Drew Lock was in the game and he promptly threw an interception.
That's all he wanted to do.
I was like, damn it, Drew. Chill out. But look, it's time I kind of hinted to this on the pregame show. Chargers are overrated, man. They're overrated. That's just all. They are not a good team on the road. They start slow. They don't execute the same. And even when they're at home, their defense is giving up too many points. Herbert has a tendency of killing drives now lately. 28 for 44 isn't necessarily the best stat line with 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 303 yards. And then, you know, kudos to the Broncos sticking to their game plan, controlling the clock, making it difficult once they got ahead, continuing to run the ball, and making sure that the Chargers had to work for everything that they did. Like, it was just one of those games where they couldn't get off those big explosive plays that they're used to, and they just seemed out of sync because of that.
Yeah, the Chargers, they're kind of like the Bengals in that when either of these teams is firing on all cylinders, it's easy to talk yourself into them. Like when Herbert, especially earlier in the year when they were getting a lot more of those big plays, like you can just see it. Herbert with Keenan Allen, Eckler, and Mike Williams when he's going, like it looks super exciting. It's a pretty good pass defense, but then you see a game like yesterday where you have a couple of interceptions. Props to Patrick Surtain. He had both of those. And one of them was in the end zone, and the other was a pick six. So that's pretty much 14 points right there, which totally changes this game. But yeah, the other issue is they're really bad when it comes to defending the run. So when they fall behind, teams can grind clock, which is exactly what Denver did in this game. And that just makes it that much harder for you to come back. So, and actually, yeah, Chargers play the Bengals next week. So that's going to be a really interesting game where nothing would surprise me. One of those teams could win by 40. It could be a 38-35 classic. I have no idea what's going to happen.
Taking the over, baby.
Yeah, that's the one thing I would do.
Rams versus Packers. Jalen Ramsey said it best. Rams are too good to be losing games like this. I mean, we could go over the stat line, but the stat line doesn't tell the whole story because Matthew Stafford has a decent stat line when you look at it. 21 for 33, 302 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Aaron Rodgers was 28 for 45, 307 yards, 2 touchdowns. Neither running back went over 70 yards. Devontae Adams had 8 catches, 104 yards. And Kupp had 7 catches for 96 yards. So how did the Rams lose this game?
I honestly, outside of the pick six, I mean, that's obviously a really big part of the game here. But The Packers just seem to be grinding out wins against good teams. I mean, it was the same thing in their win against the Cardinals. They've beaten two of the better teams in the NFC, and they never look extremely impressive doing it, but it's just kind of good enough. And it is impressive in that their offensive line is really makeshift right now. And you're going up against Aaron Donald and Von Miller, and you're still finding ways to get it done. That's impressive. And again, defensively, Jair Alexander is still out for this team.
Yeah.
So, you know, Green Bay is just kind of rolling along. They haven't looked fantastic in any games, maybe this whole season pretty much. But they're good week in, week out. And, yeah, I don't know exactly what's going on with the Rams. Apparently Robert Woods was the magic that kept everything working, I guess.
That's what they were saying on I forgot who was saying it. Maybe it was Drew Brees or somebody was saying it. It was Drew Brees. He was talking about how he was running, like Woods would run the reverses and all these. Basically, saying Woods was like Debo Samuels, and I'm like,
right, just made it more unpredictable what they were doing on offense.
I guess. I mean, it does take time for people to gel. Like when you add somebody like Odell Beckham, and when you add like
I'm not writing this team off. That's for sure.
Yeah, when you add like Von Miller, like it does take some time. But at the end of the day, what we're really seeing is that they're just not executing like simple things. It's not necessarily a scheme issue or anything. It's just they're just not executing the very simple, basic things that you need to do to win football games. They're not getting off the field on third downs. Offensively, they're not extending drives on third down.
Right, 4 of 13 and 0 of 1 on fourth down. So that's huge. And I mean, to be fair, losing by 8 on the road against one of the best teams in the league when you lost the turnover battle by 2 and you were that bad at converting third downs. You know, again, it's not the end of the world, but the problem for them is they're setting themselves up where they're gonna have to go through everyone else on the road when they hit the playoffs, because it does not look like they're going to catch the Cardinals, at least unless they turn things around quick here. I mean, they get the Jags next week, so that should be a get-right game at the very least.
They're setting themselves up to have to go through San Francisco. Say it. We're back, baby. The Niners are back. 6-5 Niners, matter of fact. Got Zimmer crying in the press conference about being held. His players are being held. Niners getting away with a lot of holding. No, that's football, tough guy. That's football. Hey, you're defensive coach and you're crying about that. That's Bush League, as my coach would say. Or piss poor, son. Like, come on. Like, Kittle had a great response. Get good is basically what he said in a nice way. Niners win 34-26. Niners defense came up huge. We held the team to no points in the fourth quarter. And it was like some red zones. We had my man Kirk Cousins so shook he was lining up under the guard. That's what I'm talking about, man. Josh Norman finally figured out how to cover without pass interference. It took a couple pass interference calls, but he finally figured it out. Vikings lose Dalvin Cook. We kind of lose Debo Samuels to a groin injury, but he should be good to come back. It wasn't too severe. Jefferson didn't have 100 yards receiving. Ayuk was 3 catches for 91 yards. Unfortunately, we still have Jimmy Garoppolo. But hey, we're 6-5. It's still time to celebrate.
Right. And you didn't have, you know, Jimmy had its kind of classic, you know, one really bad throw where he threw to Harrison Smith. But the rest of this game, this looked like the Niners team I kind of imagined at the start of the season. I mean, I picked them to win the West.
I did.
I thought this was going to be like, I was buying in, man. And I mean, you see the potential, though, especially when all their skill guys are healthy. Obviously, they did lose Debo for part of the game. But I mean, yeah, you have Elijah Mitchell going off for 130. Debo didn't do much receiving, but he ran for 2 touchdowns and 66 yards. You already listed Ayuk. I mean, Kittle didn't do a lot in the pass game, but he changes so much with everything else he can do. The threat he gives the defense, and then his run blocking is honestly second to none of any like tight ends out there. So this team looked like the way I imagined they would at the start of the year, where, you know, Jimmy doesn't have to be great. He just has to be good because the guys around him are great. And then Minnesota, I mean, I don't know, this is just what Minnesota does. They're another one of those teams where as soon as you start to believe in them, they beat the Chargers, they beat the Packers. You're like, all right, this is the sixth best team, or maybe, you know, even better in the NFC. They run into the Niners, they get knocked down. It's what they're going to do. Like, they're going to beat the Lions next week, and then they'll probably find a way to lose to the Steelers. Like, it's what the Vikings do. They're going to finish 8-9 or 9-8. They're going to play again. They're going to play every game. It's going to be 8 points or less. It's just who they are. It's who Kirk Cousins is.
Yeah. I feel obligated to point out before we switch subjects, Ayuk was not allowed on the field in the first couple weeks of the season. He was did not play coach's decision. Just want to remind everybody that.
Great decision.
This dickhead Kyle Shanahan had our GM waste the first round pick on Ayuk and then decided in the second season that he didn't know the offense or he wasn't doing what he wanted him to do, so he was going to punish him by not playing him. Didn't think he fit in the offense, and he's only been one of the best players on the offense since he came back on the field. It's Debo, Ayuk, and Kittle, and Mitchell. We got four playmakers, but the catalyst to this is Ayuk. We've already seen everybody else in the offense, but it didn't change until Ayuk came, and then we started running motions again. So I'm not going to rant again. I'm just saying. Al Shanahan decided that this important piece of our offense wasn't important enough. That's why we started behind the eight ball. So thank you, dickhead. Browns Ravens, awful game.
Oh my gosh!
You know what? I apologize to the Bears Lions. I completely erased this game out of my memory. Awful game, man. Couldn't get right whatsoever. Not a lot of offense to talk about here. Lamar Jackson had one of the worst games of his entire career, yet he still won, and I think that is a positive because a lot of times when people throw four interceptions, they get beat by 100, but instead this guy won by 6 against a division opponent. Ravens, if they keep it up, they're going to lock up the one seed.
I mean, I don't know if after watching this game, I feel very confident in that. I did not actually watch this game, but then I watched the highlights on SportsCenter, and it's incredible. In the last 3.5 minutes of the first half, they combined to commit five turnovers turnovers on 6 possessions. And I don't know what Lamar Jackson was doing in this game. It seems like everyone who gets hyped up as a potential MVP this season must immediately just play like their worst 2 games of the entire year. This was ugly. Obviously, yeah, they are the current number one seed. But they still have to face the Browns again. They got the Packers, the Rams, the Bengals. They do get the Steelers twice, which is pretty nice. But I don't know. As long as the Patriots at least split with the Bills, I feel like they have the inside track here. Just because I don't know how you can trust the Ravens right now. I mean, their last 2 games, a 4-pick game by Lamar that they somehow win. And then they beat the Bears by 3. Those are the last 2.
I can trust the Ravens because even in the games where they've been bad, they still won.
Well, except when they played the Dolphins.
Yeah, except when they played. It was a Thursday night game, and so therefore I won't put a lot of stock into that.
They still have to go to Cincinnati, a team that they got blown out by earlier this year.
Which is a good get-back game. That's going to be the game that the Bengals fall asleep. I can feel it.
They're going to fall asleep for the Ravens? God, I hope not. The one game you know. Oh, man.
Right? Seahawks, John Doe's. My son picked the John Doe's. He made me very proud. I had the John Doe's as well. I don't know what the hell Jack Del Rio was doing at the end of the game with that defense. People are blaming.
Wide open.
People are blaming. They're saying, oh, it was a backup. No. That was a fucking play call, okay? That was the defense that they called. It was absolutely horrible. The last 30 seconds of this game was just an emotional roller coaster for me because it was a pick'em. So I wasn't getting any points. So I needed the John Doe's to win the game. And they just seemed content on making it the most stressful win of all time.
This game was giving me Alabama-Auburn flashbacks.
Yeah.
Where you're looking at it like, oh, they're backed up. They haven't done anything all game. Defense should be fine here. And then, I mean, luckily for Washington, the two-point conversion still needed to happen, because otherwise I think this was going to go the same way.
Yeah, and I'm looking at because I do the game cast on ESPN, and one of the things is Stephen A. Russell is feeling miserable in his shows. That's his fucking fault, okay? He's got the offensive coordinator he wanted. He's got essentially the offense that he wants to run, the personnel that he wants on there. The only thing he can really complain about is having a running back, but he's playing awful. He looked really bad last night. There was throws that, like, inexcusable for him to overthrow people or underthrow people. We've seen him work under duress plenty of times. We've seen him step up in the pocket, make deep throws to Tyler Lockett and stuff like that. He just seems out of rhythm. Some of that could be because of the long layoff, but even before the layoff, he didn't look good. It's just not a good year for him. I don't know if he's playing through some kind of injury that we didn't know about, or if it's something mental, but either way, he's not playing winning football. And until he gets back to that, this guy could be an MVP type play, they'll be a 5-6 win team max every year.
Yeah, they really haven't. That offense hasn't looked right since they beat the Niners week 4.
Yep.
They've had what? One game where they've topped 20 points, and that was with Geno Smith against the Jaguars. Yeah. That's the only time since then that they've scored over 20, and they've only hit 20 once. So, yeah, you know, obviously the injury isn't helping, but that's not the only thing that's going on here. What do you think the odds are? Who do you think is out? Is it Wilson's out, Carroll's out, or they're both out at the end of the
game? It'll definitely be Pete Carroll. I think
any colleges are interested in a 70-year-old head coach?
No, he's not. He's gonna retire. Like,
no,
I don't think Super Bowl winning coaches go back to college. You know, like,
no.
Once you're done,
this definitely ends in him resigning, quote unquote, at the end of the season.
And then after that, it could be that Wilson leaves and they just kind of start all over. I mean, Seattle had a good run. They were one of the best teams in the league
for a decade,
yeah. And they got, what, one Super Bowl out of it?
Inches away from
Inches from two, yeah. So sometimes that's how it happens. Sometimes that's a pretty lengthy window.
Yeah, we can't all win two Super Bowls like Eli Manning. So
yeah, so it happens. You can't all get lucky. You're right. So speaking of getting lucky, and what we'll close out with today, you had asked how serious should we start taking the Patriots? So I guess since you asked the question, I'll go first. I don't take them as serious as I think the media and want us to believe. I don't fear this Patriot team like I fear Tom Brady. Mac Jones is not Tom Brady. One of the issues that makes me hesitant to back them is that they still kick too many fucking field goals in the red zone. Some of that is based on Mac Jones just not being able to execute. Some of that is just obviously him being young. But at the end of the day, you will not beat playoff teams, playoff offenses, without scoring efficiently in the red zone. We've seen this happen to plenty of teams who've had red zone struggles, and it ends up biting them in the ass when they get to the playoffs, because you always run up against the Chiefs. You always run up against the Packers or some other team that just, like, they've got a top-tier quarterback. Buccaneers got a top-tier quarterback, and they can put the ball in the end zone, threes turn into sevens, and you just find yourself in a situation where you can't keep up. I don't expect this defense to play at a high level, like an elite all-time level, come playoff time. They are playing really well right now, but I expect that to kind of come back to earth as the competition gets better come playoff time.
I think I'm probably a little more optimistic on the Patriots than you are.
Yeah, probably.
I will say, no. Again, these are just what the computer shoots out with their system, but Football Outsiders, their system is currently saying the Patriots are the favorites to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now, part of that is that they play in the AFC. I think there's actually a real argument that the Patriots are somewhat of a mirror of the 49ers with who they are right now. So I think if they're in the NFC, they're probably, like, they might be the fifth or sixth team. But that, you know, again, the AFC, it's the Bills and the Chiefs, and maybe you can talk yourself into the Ravens. It's hard to right now, but I mean, this is just the offense is good. They're not great, but they're just kind of solid at everything. Again, I think you made a good point about if they're going to actually go on a run here in the playoffs, they're going to have to score more touchdowns. But I mean, this is a top five defense. They have perennial best special teams, top two or three, and they are this year again. They actually remind me a lot of the 04 Steelers. Now, that team went 15-1, and obviously the Patriots have already lost like three or four games. But, you know, that was a team where Big Ben was a good rookie QB who came into the perfect situation. They got home field, like the Patriots might go down the stretch here. But then, you know, eventually they ran into the Patriots and they lost. And I would not be surprised if this season ends up mirroring that, where they get the one seed, they get to the championship game, and then there's Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. And you don't want to kick field goals when you're playing Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. So you, I would not be surprised, man, if it plays out that way.
Yep.
So I think they're legit contenders. I would put them right there with the Bills in Kansas City, depending on how this all breaks. But I can't say that I would bet on them over the team with Patrick Mahomes.
I can't take rookie Mac Jones against any of these veteran quarterbacks. I mean, I think there's some familiarity with playing the Bills, and they'll probably do well against them. Division-wise, they could definitely get back to the top of their division, but
do you like the Ravens more than you like the Patriots?
I do. I trust Lamar more than I trust Mac Jones. And I trust Lamar to be able to handle what the Patriots will throw at him over what Mac Jones will see with the blitzes and stuff. So he doesn't
I agree individually on the QBs. I trust the rest of what the Patriots are working with more than I do the Ravens.
Well, I mean, Harbaugh's a good coach.
I'm talking about personality now.
Well, personnel-wise, what I think it takes to beat that Ravens defense, I don't know if the Patriots have that in their receiving core. Like, think about the receivers we've seen give them problems. It's been guys like Chase and these
a little more dynamic
receivers. I don't feel like Bourne and whoever else this other random person is going to get it done. And they haven't been able to run the ball that effective the last couple weeks. And it seems like the Ravens defense has gotten more stout against the run. So if they're going to get beat, they're going to have to be beat through the air. And I feel like it's going to be an ugly game.
Oh, that's a guarantee.
And Justin Tucker will be there. So I have faith in that. So, it's not necessarily a knock on the Patriots. I'm going to stay pessimistic just because I know things change in the playoffs. And I know that as good as Mac Jones might look on the numbers, he has some weaknesses when it comes to the red zone. And this team has weaknesses when it comes to the red zone. And that's going to be something that's going to pop up if they do match up against a team like the Chiefs or one of these other teams that, hell, even the Ravens have no issues really putting the ball in the end zone typically in the playoffs. So we'll see how it plays out.
It is worth mentioning, no rookie QB has ever reached the Super Bowl. So, again, the Steelers got real close with Roethlisberger. It's not impossible, but, the numbers might say the Patriots are the favorites in the AFC, but I think you got to go with the guy who's already been there. And then, the Bills and the Ravens are right there with them.
Yeah. All right. So we will be back next week with what should be a clearer picture on the playoffs.
We'll see.
we'll try not to spend so much time on these games that don't really matter. But we haven't gotten together in a week. So it was great seeing you, Joe. Great having you back on the show. I thought you were really good.
Great to have our teams win.
I thought you were going to Lincoln Riley me and not tell me and just go to another show. I got to get these jokes in, man. It's hilarious to me. All right, we'll be back next week, guys.